Welcome everyone to this Venus Overtone class where we are connecting more deeply with our meta goddess or goddesses for those who are going through more than one in their lifetime, but usually not more than two. It would be very rare that somebody would have that experience. I'm Kayla Castell here with Tammy Brunk, and the journey continues to be magical and revealing. And so we would really like to also just have a special thank you for those who have been sharing your insights and your questions, and we hope we captured everything. If we did not, it was not on purpose. So just know we're not like leaving anybody out. So and let us know and we'll make sure it gets added into the next class. And similar to the last class, we will not be sharing all the pages of the PDF handout because, you know, there's a lot. We'd be here all day if that was the case. What we encourage you to do is to look at the content and then we're not sharing, and then if there's things that come up or questions you have or insights you'd like to share with us, then please do that, and we'll make sure that gets included in the following class that will happen in 2 weeks. So, once again, we're also going to be doing invocations for the meta goddesses as a way to have a more direct experience of these energies. And that really does sort of enliven that energy. And we'll talk more about that as we get to that. So, before we jump into our content and deepening exercises that we have planned for you, let's energize our sacred space and transformational goddess field that we've been creating with special gratitude to the Circle of Grandmothers and the magical wisdom that has led us to this moment. So whatever grounding practice that works for you, shaking, dancing, moving, breathing, just center on your breath and ground yourself into this present moment so that we can be fully here for what we're about to jump into, and we're very excited about it. And also, as you're doing your grounding practice, I'm just going to reaffirm our intent for this entire series and actually all things Venus Alchemy. So serving it, because we are here really serving the emerging goddess in every one of us, both men and women, and in all her many forms and expressions in the best, most useful, alive, healing, magical, and loving ways possible. Blessed be, and so it is. And now Tammy is going to share the overview and get us into our breakout groups.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Kaylin. That grounding is always very, very helpful. So yes, so just to speak into what it is that we're going to be covering tonight, we will start again like last time with the breakout session. And so I'll talk more about that in a moment. But we just want to always begin the class by really reflecting and sharing with each other about what it is that we've been exploring with each of the layers as we go through. Then we will begin to talk about different points on the Venus cycle. We'll talk about kind of how these overtones and how the Venus cycle itself works. There's a little bit more of that left brain information that's going to be really essential. And why we use the perspective we do. Kaylin's going to go into that because there are other ways to look at the Venus synodic cycle. And then the historical perspective, and then really giving our definition for how we look at the overtone. And then we're going to really dream into and bring some aliveness into what these overtones are about. And then we'll be sharing something about a practice that we're going to initiate with this class, which is to begin to work with the Venus Life Review, which is a way of looking back through our lives at our previous Venus returns, which we'll talk about, and begin to really synthesize this information in that way, through that process. And of course, again, we'll talk about the archetypes of the feminine. That actually is going to be in preparation for the next class. And as Kaylin said, we're not going to be reading all of that. And then we'll have time, we hope this time we're going to really stay kind of on track with time. And we'll have time for lots of good questions and insights. So with that,
Yes, so we can see the...
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's great. So we're going to do the breakouts a little bit differently this time. And just before we go into the breakouts, I just also want to say... that if you, thank you, Kaylin. So these are the questions. So before we get into this though, just to say that if you haven't, if you want a buddy, if you want someone to work with in the interim periods, then, you know, do sign up if you want that. We really recommend it. And in the meantime, we'll be doing these breakouts. So we're going to do dyads tonight, and I'm going to see, once you get matched up, it's going to be totally random. I'm not going to take the time to match people up. And so once you get into your dyads, if you could find a timer, one of you can be a timer, and you're each going to have 3 minutes to really explore these questions. And then at the end, you'll have a couple of minutes just to kind of, you know, just to really complete. So as well, if you can assign a scribe, someone who kind of takes note of the most essential points that you explored, and you can email that to me, that's great, because we really want to be exploring with you what aspects of this really resonate and what, just to dream into it more deeply. So with that, the questions are, in what ways has this phase informed my life so far? How can the insights connected to my phase help inform my awareness and choices going forward? And as I review the intent, challenges, and gifts of my specific Venus phase, what resonates most for me and what resonates least? So I'm going to go ahead and put...
Tammy's doing that. I just want to say that one of the reasons we really feel strongly about doing it this way is that Tammy and I have had such incredible insights when we talk to each other. And we have, of course, she's morning star, I'm evening star. She's at a different gate, and I'm a different, we have, you know, everything different.
Yeah, right.
It's really helpful when you start to speak out loud to somebody.
Yes.
You hadn't thought of happen. And this is why we also recommend having a buddy to talk to, or buddies, you know, if that works, but to have somebody else to talk to who's in the class, because they'll be on the same page with this material. And we had no idea how much insight and how much this was going to be incredible in our own understanding. So again, that's why we recommend it.
Yes. So we're excited to see who you end up with. Nancy, is Nancy trying to say something? No. Okay. Okay. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and begin to assign breakout rooms and do this manually.
Just so you know that we'll be doing our own breakout. And if anybody joins late, they'll just be in our little breakout group.
Right.
Doing that. And just so that will be, there won't be just a blank spot in the recording. We'll have some insights to share along with you.
Right.
Yeah, so you'll be able to hear that on the recording later.
Okay, so it's just going to take a moment. Okay. So we're going to just assume that whoever ends up with who is divinely inspired, absolutely perfect. And just to let you know again, as always, that when I begin this session, you'll have to join. You'll be asked to join. You'll want to join. If you've unmuted yourselves, please mute yourselves again because I hear a lot of feedback. And then about 30 minutes before it's over, you will...
30 seconds or...
30 seconds. Yeah, not 30 minutes. You will be alerted 30 seconds before it's over, that it will be over. So, okay. And keep getting more people, which is great. And I'm almost complete. And again, 3 minutes per person to share, and then 2 minutes kind of to take things down and just complete. So. I'm now going to open all rooms and join when you see the notice to join.
Be sure to unmute yourself when you join.
Yeah, and be sure to unmute yourselves when you get into your own calls.
Right.
Now opening rooms.
Cool. So is everybody in their room now?
Let me make sure. Looks like I wonder if Melody just joined. Melody, did you? You can unmute yourself. Did you just join? I think she just joined. So there's. Okay. So Melody, we are going to have you in our circle. So we're going to talk with you, if that's all right.
So and if you unmute yourself, we can.
Yeah.
So do we just want to pick one of these questions to answer?
Yeah. Let's just start, and Melody can come in whenever she's ready. Okay. In what ways has
this phase?
Yeah. So yeah.
Because you and I have been working on this, and we actually created some slides for people to see later our story about how this has worked for us. I have to say, for me, the awareness around the throat chakra piece and being able to track that through my life has been so helpful. And it's helped me to make the choices that have gotten me to the place where I can now be able to speak and be seen and not freak out. So it really has helped inform my life in that way. And that it also that I am meant to have a voice and to fulfill my purpose is to find my voice and to be able to speak in front of people, and also in writing and other ways, creative communication. So.
Wow. Thank you. Yes. Okay. Now we have Mary and we have Melody. Mary and Melody, would you two like to be put into a breakout session together, or would you rather stay with us? Just nod if you want to stay with us. And yeah, you want to stay with us, Mary?
Yeah, I actually am here because I got an error message when we were supposed to go into the breakout room. It didn't work. So I just waited for a few minutes and kept getting that. So I dialed back in.
Okay. Would you like to be with us? Is that okay?
Yes, that's great. I definitely have some questions. So
absolutely. Okay. So, I'll speak a little bit into my phase as well. We wrote a lot about our overtone in the slides, and in terms of the phase, I guess one of the things is I've been exploring this more, the solar plexus chakra, and releasing around that for myself. Part of what I really experience with that is that my whole life there's been a lot around identity, being a middle child in a big family, having a lot of experience where it was definitely not okay to kind of take up a lot of space as an individual. It's been my life path to really learn how to focus in on my story and rather than always orienting to other people's stories or other people's perceptions. And that's kind of how it's worked for me. Melody, why don't you go ahead and share your questions. I wanted for us to share a little bit about this because we're also wanting to, really speak into the questions. But what are some of yours?
Well, when you say, I know I should know this, but it's really hard for me to focus last week. Once we got into it, I thought, oh, have I made a mistake in signing up for this class? Because it just seems so intensive. I'm still trying to figure out what you mean by phase. And I'm guessing that you mean the chakra that we're...
Yes, the gate.
The gate. Okay.
Yes. So are you at a gate? Are you at a specific chakra?
Morning star and first chakra.
Okay, yeah. Root chakra. Okay, great.
No, I think it's the crown chakra.
Crown, okay, first gate. Yeah, it's confusing.
Crown chakra.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've decided to call it inner phases instead of chakra gate because not everyone is at a chakra. So that's why confusing because we were referring to it and we changed it. So it makes sense. It would have been a little confusing.
Okay.
So for you then, Melody, what comes to mind for you when you consider how that the crown chakra and that whole dynamic of being at that place in the story where she is removing the crown, how does that relate to your life path?
I was just answering Mary. She's been texting that she can't hear. Anyway, I think maybe Mary, I think you need headphones. For me, I guess, being born into a Mormon family and I was the oldest living child and of seven, and really indoctrinated to be the good Molly Mormon, the big sister, the righteous example, and, you know, just took that indoctrination in. And I look back now and I can see that the dissatisfaction, the internal doubts and longings that I was having. I put myself in the religion club in high school. I studied as much about indigenous cultures as I could, were all a way to try to get out from sort of that power abdication of letting go of my own connection with the divine. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so that's been sort of the spiritual story of my life, was reclaiming that.
Mm. Wow. Thank you. That's powerful.
So is Mary, are you hearing us? She's not, she doesn't look like she's hearing you.
She's not Mary. I feel like Mary, I feel like it's got to be on Mary's end.
Button that, you know, that she could maybe press that would allow the sound to come back on.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like if she has a Mac, if she's on a Mac, it's F12, and if you press that button, then the sound comes back onto the computer.
Okay. So. I'll try that. So Nancy, can you unmute yourself? Nancy should be with us now, I believe.
I have him. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you see me?
Yes, we can. So sorry, yeah. I don't know how that happened, but we're just sharing about our phases. So we would love to hear from you.
Well, my phase is the death by intent phase. And I'm still getting a grasp on what that could mean. I mean, and that's so it's so intense to say, oh yes, death by intent. That means I'm living that all the time, right? Mm-hmm. So I can definitely see. I've done a Venus life review already because I came to the Faywood group last year, and that was introduced at that point. And the Venus life with it, I can really. Times at that Venus return, you know, things just disappeared in my life. Things abruptly changed.
Kaylin, are you experiencing that?
I'm seeing that Nancy's frozen, and I wonder if that's her internet connection or.
Yeah, maybe it is. So the reality is that I actually need to close the rooms because
yes.
We're at 20. Yes. So hopefully Nancy, at the very end, we can hear a little bit more, or maybe also on Facebook.
Right.
So, okay, I'm going to close all rooms. So in about 30 seconds, they're going to close. And in the meantime, so Nancy, if you're still there, if you can continue for the next little bit. I guess actually they're closing. So, okay. All right, great.
So as people are coming back now?
Yeah, people are coming back.
I closed and I didn't mean to. There's a little thing right in the middle of the screen that says, you know, you'll go back in 29 seconds. And I'm like, it's right in front of her face. So I just was going to move it and I closed myself out.
Okay.
So it is what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, Mary can hear now. How did you fix that, Mary?
I don't know.
So strange. Okay. So, okay, so I believe everyone is out of their breakout rooms. So, Kaylin, I'm going to go ahead and mute everyone again, except for you. Wait a second.
Tell me when we're
okay.
ready.
Okay, we're ready.
Okay, great. And people are muted now?
Yes.
Okay, great. So what we're looking at, what we wanted to take a little bit of time to cover is the different points of view. And that actually is current. There's currently different points of view on how to work with the Venus cycle, as well as the historical different points of view. So we work with the Inanna story, or the, you know, Ishtar story is very similar, the way that the Sumerians were working with it, because it is so incredibly effective. It really does inform us, and it's really this mythic story, as it is related to the Venus cycle, gives us a lot of information about our life journey, and it just works really well. So that's why we work with that particular version of it. The Mayans had a different way of working with it, and we mentioned this in one of the other classes. That they also looked at when Venus was rising as morning star into the evening sky. I mean, the morning sky, to begin the Venus cycle, as did the Sumerians and the Babylonians, and there may be other cultures that I'm not thinking of right now that worked with the morning star as the beginning of the cycle. Now, I have these two books posted here: Venus Star Rising from Ariel Gutman, and also The Light of Venus by Adam Gainsburg. These are two books I'm aware of. I actually have them, and they're taking a different view. Now, Ariel's view is she just looks at the sun conjunction retrograde and the sun conjunction not retrograde. And so the sun conjunction retrograde to not retrograde is morning star, and the sun conjunction not retrograde to retrograde is evening star. And there's no other nuances or look at it. And she made that choice, and she talks about it in her book, because it's really easy and simple. So you can come up with some interesting insights just doing that. And she, of course, did a lot of historical research and so on. And then Adam Gainsburg has, I think, 13 phases of Venus that he looks at. And you know, he's done research and worked with it, and it works for him. So as I was tuning into this, and when I read what they're doing, it does not necessarily resonate for me, but it's also not necessarily wrong. It may really resonate for certain people. And that's, I think, really speaks to how different cultures worked with the cycle. And it's just finding the way that works, you know, finding the way that works for you, or what seems to resonate for you. If we think about it, the world is as we dream it. How we're dreaming into the Venus cycle is also going to be, you know, it's going to work. If we're dreaming into it and we're onto something, and we're really working with the actual cycle and what we can see and connect with, then, you know, it will be informing to us. So anyway, we're just trying to say that there's not just one right way and that other people have come up with other ways to work with it, and it works for them. One of the things I really appreciate about the shamanic astrology point of view and what we're doing with Venus Alchemy is we're not saying this is how you are. And when you read other astrologers, oftentimes what you're reading is like, if you have this, if you have the morning star, you have the evening star, if you have this Venus star point or this, you know, whatever it might be, they tell you how you are. This is how you act. This is how you feel. This is who you are. It's like that. And of course, my Venus in Aries does not like that. I don't like to be told how I am. You know, so what we're looking at is intent. What is the intent? And what are the challenges that you might experience? And what are the gifts that can happen when you can work with it in a conscious way, that are possible and there for you? But doesn't necessarily, we're not trying to say this is who you are, this is how you are, or this is how you're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So just looking at that. So there, you know, so the, again, the different times to start the Venus cycle, determining the phases of the Venus cycle, there's different ways to do that. And so we, in shamanic astrology, have come up with this way of looking at overtones that Tammy and I are now perceiving as the meta goddess that we're working with. So that kind of gives you a little bit of background around where we're coming from.
Well, and just to say, you know, Kaylin, just to also mention, and because you got it here too, and it feels so essential, the part of what we've loved so much about this way of looking at it is that we literally are guided by Inanna's descent. And to think of a more powerful way to work with this than to really be re-enlivening a story that comes to us from really the root of Western culture and from a time where the goddess culture and the matriarchal culture was shifting to patriarchal, and to really tap into that ancient wisdom and bring it into modern context feels so incredible to be able to work with it in that way.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it's such a gift, and it is powerful. And literally this went on for hundreds and maybe thousands of years that they worked with it in this way. So, and we've now adapted it to our current time, so it works for us at this time, updated it. So we felt like it might be good just to, you know, why Overtone? I actually, when Daniel was first starting to do the research on the Venus cycle, trying to remember I think he called it the over Venus. And I was like, the over Venus does not make sense to me. So then we changed it to the Overtone. And what I think is that this whole idea of how it's subtle, quality, that there's an additional quality, but that it actually infuses everything. You know, it's part of the harmonic of our Venus experience. And so it's definitely worth understanding and seeing it, but seeing it as the meta goddess is helpful. Now, this slide, I just actually came across this in a something I was reading about Venus, and I just thought it was really interesting. It doesn't necessarily apply to what we're talking about here in terms of the Overtone, but I thought it was fun to see, you know, that in Mesopotamia they were using these boundary stones. And this is like a drawing of one of them, and then somebody taking it and putting it into you know, more colorful expression and you know, looking at what does this really mean. And one of the things we can sense or feel into, and this is really showing Moon, Sun, and Venus in the, you know, so that how they were working with that. They recognized the relationship between the Sun and Venus. They recognized the relationship between the Moon and Venus, and we will be doing that in our next two classes. Talking about that. So I just thought it would be fun to be able to see this, and you can look at it and dream into it and see what it may have to say to you.
Cool images.
Yeah, very cool. So now I think Tammy's going to share with us her research.
So, and I feel like I'm hearing some feedback. So if there's anyone who has unmuted themselves, if you could mute, just check and make sure that you're muted, that would be great. Part of how we've really been excited to see and feel into this is that the Overtone is something that's meta, it's larger than life, it's transpersonal. So even though in this series we're focusing in on how we experience her personally, there's something about the Overtone, and we really experience this when we work with the full Venus cycle and with the sign of the cycle, and as a collective, we feel into the way that we are collectively releasing the old pattern around that sign and bringing in the new expression. We really feel the meta goddess through that process. But for each one of us, we have a relationship with this Overtone sign, this meta goddess, and she bridges the divide between our personal journey and then the bigger story that we're a part of. So part of how I've been feeling and seeing this, and especially when it's a very fun exercise to look up famous individuals and people who have really made a contribution in the culture and see what their Overtone is. And when you do that, you can really kind of see how they have made a contribution in the culture that's in service to that goddess of their Overtone. They're helping dream into and bring into the larger culture, into the community in a public way, what this goddess is. They're bringing her back in. I saw that really strongly with the Virgo Leo Overtone. So many individuals who are just such big pioneers in the environmental movements, really including here, we've got Bill Mollison. He wrote the Permaculture Handbook. We've got Vandana Shiva, Bill McKibben, who has been such a leader in climate change. So we just see all of these individuals who are really in service to Gaia with Virgo, but shining their light in the world. So it's a fun exercise to do. And then also in the invocations and everything we speak into today, it's really to look at, to see and to perceive of how the Meta Goddess is connecting with us. So,
yeah, and you know, just to let you all know, we Tammy gave a presentation at a SAMS conference we did a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, and we took that and posted the audio as well as the PDF slideshow that she used during that presentation that goes way more in depth into these pieces for people who are interested in that. So yes. It's on the class page.
Thank you. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So what we wanted to really energize is what we're looking at is the overtone or the meta goddess. There are 5 points over 8 years that form a pentagram in the sky. And so this is to kind of give you that sense of it. And literally on January 17th, well, in January of 2014, as the new Venus cycle began, that's when Tammy and I found ourselves deciding that we were going to do this in a different way. And the Circle of Grandmothers were really inspiring us to create this in a more online way, to make it more alive and personal for people, to work with that cycle. And then now we're in the Leo that started August 22nd of 2015. And again, these all last about 19 months. And so from Capricorn, we always go to Leo. It was Virgo and now it's Leo. Then it goes to Aries. So on March 31st of 2017, it's going to show up in Aries. And then from Aries, it goes over to, well, it has been Scorpio, but next time on November 2nd, 2018, it's going to be in Libra for the first time in a long time. And we'll look at that a little more as we go along. And then when that one's done, we'll be going to June 10th, 2020, and the Venus will rise at, in Gemini. And so, and then back to Capricorn. And it just keeps making this pattern. But what happens is that it actually shifts a couple of degrees every time, or a couple of days, a few degrees each time. So the pattern happens, and this is just to kind of help show the shift and how these are feeding into each other. And it takes 8 years for Venus to return back to the same sign, but it will do it about 2 days earlier, sometimes 2.5. And it takes 96 to 112 years to shift through an entire sign.
And Kayla.
Yeah.
I just want to, just for one moment, I don't know, do you know what page you're on? Because I wanted to just reorient people every once in a while to what page it is, and for some reason I can't see that.
Because this is, I'm looking at this as a PDF because I don't have it on my Mac, I have it on my PC, I have no idea what page it is. So you'd have to look at it from...
Okay, if somebody can chat with me, like chat, send me that page, it's great.
Page 9,
thanks Robin.
Okay.
All right, so, and then this is just showing another shift. So, and then over time, it just shifts, and it takes 1,247 years. So, like, if we started counting from where, in 2014, where the sun rose, or Venus rose as morning star, it would be 1,247 years before she would be back in that point again. So, the whole entire pentagram is turning and shifting through the different signs. And
Kaylin.
Yeah.
If it's okay, I just want to stop for 1 second because I think we may have missed just taking a moment to remind people or let them know that this is the part of the class that might be a little bit left brain and a little bit technical and hard at first, but just to say a couple of really simple things because we haven't really said this again. The overtone is the sign that Venus is in when she begins a new cycle. Most of you know that. Some of you don't know that. So it's the season or it's the sign that Venus is in when she rises as morning star in a particular cycle. And so when you look at the star pattern, it's showing those different morning star rises that were in. It shows how over time she's going to rise at a little bit of a different time and in a different, you know, she's going to move back through the signs. So just...
Yeah. And it is a procession backward through the sign. So we'll see that as we kind of go along here too. The other thing just to say is that whenever we hear new information, we're creating new neural pathways in our brain. And the more we hear it, the easier it is to understand. So so we've said probably some of this before, but it's worth repeating because it does help us to get that sense. Now, when I was looking at this, and I didn't realize, because we, in the original article that Daniel wrote back in the mid-90s on the Venus cycle, he just said it was 104 years in a sign. But what I discovered is that sometimes it's 96 years in a sign, sometimes it's 104 years in a sign, and sometimes it's 112 years. And that depends on how many heliacal rises in that sign happen, and also where it starts. So if it starts at like 29 degrees and 49 minutes, there's 30 degrees in a sign, and there's 60 minutes in a degree, that then there'll be tend to be more of them than if it, say, started at 28 degrees. So that's part of the reason. And so you'll see that the ones that are created here, like this morning star rise in Pisces back in 1774 was 29 Pisces. And that was the first time in the overtone. The last time was in 1870 at 1 Pisces. And then the next time, the 8 years later, it rose in Aquarius. But there were 13 overtone cycles of Venus in Pisces. So it was 104 years as with that overtone before the new overtone began. Mm-hmm. So there's a bunch of these that you can look at, because for those people who like the historical perspective of it, let's see. And I just want to get to this one. Mm-hmm. This one, the previous retrograde morning star rise in Libra. And the reason this is significant is because November 1st of 2018, Venus will rise in Libra again. And the last time it did that was in 1767, November 2nd, 1767. And interestingly, on October 30th, 1775, at 27 Libra. So that tells us that the U.S. chart has an overtone of Libra on its Venus in Cancer. And if we think about how, sorry, that's a plane going by, if you hear that crazy, wild, loud noise. But if we think about, you know, the whole precept of the, you know, equality for each people, everyone has the right to pursue their happiness and, you know, to the things that were set out in the Declaration of Independence, very much Libra. It's very much connected to that Libra overtone.
Also, the French Revolution was happening right after that point as well.
And for similar reasons. Right. So, you know, and which is really sort of maybe a dismantling of the hierarchy. If, you know, if we have the people that are the elite people that are in charge. So it'll be interesting to see in 2018 when we start with the Libra overtone, how does that, we're already kind of moving in that direction. How is that going to further facilitate the dismantling of sort of the hierarchical structures that we've been dealing with as we've gotten away from the original ideals of, you know, why the United States was created. So just something for us to consider, and we can ponder more about that.
And actually one of the things to bring in here too is just to say that more and more with the amazing questions people are asking, and every time we go through this, we're reminded that we want to do an advanced class. So part of what might come through an advanced class is that we really do more research into what's happening during these different periods and when the overtone shifts.
Exactly. So there's more of these that you can look at. And then when I got done with all of that, I thought, well, maybe I should put them all on one page. And the total number of overtones, you can kind of see the patterns here. And when the next one starts, the next Pisces one will be in 2025. And I think that's probably in our lifetime, that's the only other shift we'll experience, because the rest of them are happening a long time from now. But you know, here's just a single page for you to be able to look at that and to get a sense of when those are. And again, you know, for those who want to do some research like Tammy has done, which is so amazing, you can look at these dates and these overtones and, you know, kind of see what was happening on the world stage. So.
Excellent. Thank you. So that, and of course, Kaylin put an amazing amount of time into what she just did there too. So one of the things to know is that even that since 1948, you know, in some of our lifetimes, that Venus has shifted from Cancer to Gemini overtone from July 24th, 1948. That happened September 3rd, 1975. It shifted from Virgo to Leo overtone. And then in 1974, it went from Aquarius to Capricorn. In 2018, it will shift from Scorpio to Libra. So these are the overtones that are shifting in our lifetime for some in this circle. So,
and we could actually add in 2025 when it shifts from Aries to Pisces.
Yeah, that's true. That's coming up quickly.
Yeah.
So we will be exploring more deeply what it means, what we propose that it could mean to have this overtone in different signs. And we won't be going as deeply into those who have the Virgo Leo versus just Leo, for example, but we're just proposing that for people born in when it was in Cancer, Virgo, Aquarius, or Cancer, Virgo, or Aquarius, it's as if you've fully integrated the teachings of that meta goddess. This is one way to consider it, of the Venus overtone that's active at your birth, and that now you're in training with a new meta goddess. Now you are in service to a new meta goddess with that other integrated. So,
And if it's not integrated, you'll still be integrating it while also working with the other metagoddess, right? So that you could be working with both at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like I was saying with all these people who are really powerful leaders in the environmental movement, they're doing a synthesis. They're in service to the Virgo goddess, they're in service to Gaia, but their Leo ability to lead and to shine is bringing that in a new way. So we've also seen that, and in some of the research that I've done, that when an individual at the age that the overtone shifts, the themes that are showing up in their life, especially during their Venus returns, which we'll talk about later, those themes tend to also shift into the themes around that new sign, that new Venus sign.
Something to I just love, Tammy, that you found the integration of the signs here. So, you know, Gemini Cancer symbols here, the Virgo Leo symbols here, and the Capricorn Aquarius symbols here. Right. So, yeah, that's so cool.
So many people love to work with cusps, and we don't work with cusps in shamanic astrology, but this may well be one of those places where finally we get to work with something like that.
Right, so. Exactly.
And Mary's asking where they came from. You know, just Google them. So this, I'm not going to read through all these. You can read through this on your own if you have these, but basically this is just one way of potentially looking at how it might look and feel if you are born when Venus was in the Cancer overtone and then it shifted into Gemini or Virgo to Leo or Aquarius to Capricorn. So that's for you to explore.
And just this is just an example because it just so happens that my twins, Ian and Jenna, have Venus and Aries like I do, and they both have them as evening star. They were born 2 days after my 29th birthday, so it just so happened that it just worked out that way. And when I look at them, and because they have a Leo overtone and I have a Scorpio overtone, it really gives us a sense of the different flavor or lens of how that Venus cycle works. So I shared about that, you know, that I'm, as Scorpio, it's like, I like to be more behind the scenes if I can, but relentless and passionate about what I'm doing and very committed. Which is a kind of a Scorpio-Aries combination, whereas they are very much loving to be in the spotlight in different ways. And so something that, you know, I'll do it if I have to, but I'm not necessarily excited about it. Anyway, so that kind of gives you a sense that, you know, and this is something we can also look at is, you know, when we get to the place where we're looking at our Venus sign and you can because we gave the Venus sign information at the end of this, and then you're looking at your overtone and seeing what's the synthesis, what's the blending of these two, and how does it show up for you? Because I look at and because the twins were born 2 days after me, they both have Pisces sun, so I can't use the Pisces sun excuse for the fact that I don't like to necessarily be out there, because they do, they love it and they're really good at it.
Well, and this was one of the things that we were a little bit challenged by when we were putting this together, because we really wanted to be able to talk about the synthesis of the overtone and the sign, but it just simply happens that the order that we're going in, it's just hard to do. But as you can see here, and for example, I think a great example of the synthesis, I showed Oprah earlier, and her Venus, she has so much in Aquarius. Her Venus sign is in Aquarius, and her overtone is Aries. And it really does help to understand that she has both of those, because there's a synthesis of those two that really work when you look at her life path. So, you know, just
right, especially, I mean, if you consider she definitely has a mission and she is committed to that mission. And Aquarius, you wouldn't necessarily get that just by looking at the fact that she's Venus and Aquarius. So,
right. Yeah. And she's bold.
Yeah. So now we're going to kind of look at the overtones, and we're just going to do the invocations for these. And we invite you to just kind of take them in, to really absorb these as we speak them sort of here in our ceremonial collective space, and trusting that this will also be the energy that's for those who listen to this recording later, that continues on. And you can read about more about the overtones in the other slides that we're not going to be sharing right now.
Yes. And just before we begin that, I just want to also just speak into the fact that there are only five, we're only sharing, is it six? We're sharing six overtones. And one of those hasn't even been acted upon yet. So at any given time, you're only really going to have five that are in play. And so just to consider that whatever those five signs are that we are currently working with in any given period, that is, that's the meta goddess that's really also transforming our world. And so for us to do the invocation, it's not just for those of us, you know, this isn't just for you if you have Capricorn overtone. This is for you because we're all part of this collective experience now where the circle of the grandmothers in Capricorn is absolutely essential to dream forward the culture. So this is an activation not only for you as a personal overtone, but for the collective.
So. And that's true of all of them.
For all of them. Yes. Yeah. They're all on the front lines right now. They're all on the front lines. So, okay. This is the Venus overtone Capricorn meta goddess invocation. O radiant shining one, creatrix of the restored human culture, you whose wisdom emerges from all lines of human experience across space and time, yet speaks true through all the ages. You who speak to us through the circle of the grandmothers and our awakened DNA. Reveal to us the path forward to an age of restoration, well-being, and plenty for the earth and our human family. Heal us of wounds that keep us small and bound by the past. Show us how to mend the fabric of the world, beginning with ourselves. Remind us of our true human nature to act as stewards of our earth and co-creators of our collective human destiny, married with the destiny of Gaia, our mother.
Beautiful. Leo Meta Goddess Invocation. O radiant and shining one, queen of heaven and earth, inspired by your brilliant love light, we ask that you guide us into the depths of your mysteries. We invite you to bless us with your guidance, insight, and radiant love, transforming all that does not vibrate with the divine love light that you are, we are. Guide us to genuinely experience healthy self-love, no matter what. No matter what is happening in our reality, assist us in transforming our awareness so that we discover how to truly love ourselves, and in so doing, inspire others to do the same.
Thank you. Aries, Meta Goddess and Vocation. O radiant, shining one, warrior goddess, you who remind us of our power to restore the cosmic balance. Awaken within us our wild, fierce, feminine soul. Ignite within us our holy yes, our divine spark, so we reclaim our courage and personal power. Illuminate for us our personal cause and mission, the one that brings our souls back to life and fuels us with courage to meet gladly any challenge that stands in our way. When we see injustice, power over, and suffering in our world, help us to turn inward first, strengthen our warrior's heart, to meet our personal demons with fierce love and compassion. Show us, as we commit to healing our own distortions, inspired actions we can take to transmit our healing into the world.
Libra, Meta Goddess Invocation. O radiant and shining one, queen of the relational realms, inspired by your brilliant, harmonious love light, we ask that you guide us into the depths of your mysteries, exploring new ways to engage in healthy, collaborative relationships, cooperating with each other to create a happy, healthy, and harmonious world. Bless us with your guidance and wisdom, transforming whatever limiting beliefs remain around hierarchical relating in love, family, community, and all our relationships. With the divine love light that you are, help us to see that every relationship we encounter, no matter how brief or challenging, is a mirror reflecting to us what is within us. Help us to understand and experience the magic of seeing who we are through the eyes of another, so that we know and live peaceful relational balance from the inside out. And because we haven't completely left Scorpio yet, because Libra hasn't completely started yet, we'll bring in the Scorpio Meta Goddess Invocation. O glorious and exalted one, queen of powerful magic and life force energy, inspired by your commanding strength and power, we ask that you guide us into the depths of your mysteries as we learn to again dive deep into the feeling realms, going deeper than we have ever been before, experiencing surrender into life, death, life, dying and being reborn again and again, each time with greater power, mastery, and wisdom. Great goddess of magic and mystery, help us to transform whatever fears remain around showing up as we truly are. Powerful, intense, and alive, guide us to align our will with your divine will so we can fully embrace our catalytic nature that is meant to bring the shadow to light, liberating the infinite source of life force energy that has been bound by fear, so that we may truly express the magnificence that we are.
Gemini Meta Goddess Invocation. O radiant and shining Gemini Goddess, you who open the paths and doorways into realms of magic and creative genius. You who restore my faith in the wonder of life. Show me the truths I knew as a child, but which the years have hidden from me. Reveal to me my genius, the daemon, who will guide me through dreaming, signs, synchronicity, and creative inspiration to a life of magic, possibility, and delight. Open my ears and inner sight to the hidden language of the stars, the plants, the animals, the stones, the rivers, the mountains, and the trees. heal my mind of all the old stories and narratives whose time has passed, and awaken within me the new stories, the new songs, to bring love, magic, and play into our world again.
And so it is.
So it is. Those were so fun to make.
They were.
Okay, so.
And oh, just something to notice is that we actually went through in the order that those cycles appear, starting with Capricorn. Mm-hmm. And so, except for the fact that Scorpio came after Libra, just because we have a lot of people in this class with the Scorpio overtoning, including me. Mm-hmm. So I definitely wanted to make sure that invocation was included.
Yes. And it's so fun because, I think, I don't know if it's this way for you, Kaylin, but I hadn't fully been able to take in yours until just now. And it just feels.
Yeah, we did good.
Yes, they're alive in the room. They're present. They're here. They're here in us. They're here outside of us. That's the intent. So we are going to introduce now the Venus return cycle. And just to say that this is something we could do a much, much bigger class on, but it's so essential to finally bring it in. And that is to say that every 8 years, we personally experience a Venus return. So we've all heard about what a Saturn return is. Many of us have heard of that. When we're about 28, 29, Saturn returns to the same place where it was when we were born. And Venus also has this cycle, but it's every 8 years. And so we can know when that cycle begins by looking at our overtone sign and seeing when Venus returns to that spot. So the Venus return cycle is a descent and renewal process, and we have experienced it very much personally and in the collective work that we've done. We have seen this, that like the story of Inanna, the guiding story for the Venus cycle, that this is how the return experience tends to feel. It's our own personal Inanna initiation. So even though it's powerful to work with every single Venus cycle, we've come to see it as being very empowering. It is especially essential to tune into and work consciously with our personal Venus return. So the intent of it is to activate a deeper and fuller expression of our personal goddess archetype. And we decided we wanted to bring it in because we have the time in this class, because we're going to be doing this until the middle of August.
First of September, actually, the first week of September.
Oh, first of September, that's right. That's right. We have some time, each of us, to really dive deeply into asking the question, layer by layer by layer, how is each of these layers of my personal Venus unfolded during my Venus returns? And so this is also part of the alchemy, that by the time we come to the last class, the intent is that we've really come into this philosopher's stone. We've brought forward the synthesis, this goddess inside of us, and that's part of that process is to go through the Venus return and to extract, to do kind of a soul retrieval into how these pieces have been coming forward. So yeah, next slide's great. Thank you, Kaylin. And so the presentation that Kaylin mentioned that is now posted, the audio and the slide of Venus from the Inside Out, it's a presentation I did at a SAMS conference a couple years ago, but it was inspired largely by the fact that I had done research into, I had collected and really worked deeply with 25 individuals who shared with me experiences they'd gone through in their Venus returns. So from those observations and from over the years, Kaylin and Daniel's observation in looking at Venus returns as a cycle people go through, as well as people in our ceremonial Venus cycle and their reflections, some of the patterns we've seen is that we will experience very significant life events during our Venus returns. Some of the themes can be marriage, divorce, affairs, childbirth, miscarriage, abortion, illness, sometimes death of those close to us, among other. There are very positive things as well. Graduations, I've noticed, often occur during this time. People publish books, so the birth, it can also be birth of a project. So there are many different things that can happen, but very significant cycles that connect to the feminine mysteries. Often also we'll see that people do have experiences of losing their power, at the beginning of the cycle and experiencing greater empowerment near the end of the cycle. That's commonly something that we'll see. Also something that we've wondered if this may change. Maybe the experience of Venus return will change, and it already is changing because we're doing it collectively now and we're bringing the sacred dimension into it, and the culture is changing. But what we'll often see, if you ask women to tell you stories about what's happened during these periods, you will often hear heartbreaking stories, especially for women. The older women are, the more you'll hear these stories, because they've lived through truly the dark ages for women. You'll hear stories of great violation and oppression mirroring the larger wounding of the feminine. So also we'll see that the overtone and the Venus sign themes will show up. So whatever the sign of your overtone and your Venus sign are, the intent of the cycle again is to provide the perfect experiences so that you can go more deeply into, drop more deeply into that expression. But sometimes those are, it's the shadow. It's a descent process. We've also noticed that as we progress with age through the Venus returns, oftentimes they can become less intense and we can become more empowered through each of those cycles. And also we've noticed that using this tool of being guided through Inanna's descent collectively in a ceremony is tremendously helpful for the journey. Do you want to say anything, Kaylin, about it too?
Yeah. Well, I will just concur about the less intensity and greater empowerment. And I don't know that that would be true for everyone, but people who are doing their work and who are, looking and, facing their shadow and dealing with the dark goddess and all of those things, it's like, yes, does it ever get better? And then, it's like, then we can be excited about what's next. Like, I had such a powerful time last time, and we'll share that in a moment, but I'm excited for my next Venus return now. So.
Absolutely. Me too. So, and I'm not going to go into too much detail with this, but we just, as an example, just very brief, and you're going to go way more deeply. We talked about what happened during our different periods. A theme of mine that I really thought was interesting, because I'm Morningstar, was a fall from grace when I was 8, when I was in second grade. Before that, I'd been like, all my teachers loved me. I love my teachers. Second grade, my teacher did not like me, and she picked on me, and it was horrible. And then also at age 16, there was abuse in my family it was not enacted on me, but it was enacted on my sister. And I felt I had to choose between, and I'd always been the good girl before that, so I chose to be bad, to side with my sister, because she was, because I felt that that was my morning star. That was my protector coming out. And so then age 24 was, many times you'll see big experiences around relationship. My first true love, we broke up because I really chose this path, this morning star kind of really dedicated to my path of being a park ranger in Idaho and really pursuing my passions instead of pursuing the relationship. And then the last one at age 32 was, again, around relationship and letting go of a toxic relationship and choosing instead to really focus on my own life, my own identity, which again connects to solar plexus chakra, connects to morning star, both of those things. So, and it also, I just want to say, it relates to Gemini because, I got the environmental writing degree. It relates to a magical relationship with the animals and the plants that I feel is connected to Gemini. And then I'm not going to really read this next one. Any of you can read it. It also connects to my articles that I've written. But just to say, my dad died in my last cycle, and I had experiences there related to the solar plexus and also truly feeling I was guided by my Gemini meta goddess. So
beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah. And so I'm just going to sum up my experience, and I just kind of gave brief little descriptions here, but because I am a Venus and Aries Scorpio overtone evening star fifth chakra, throat chakra, that I really saw the pattern through the different Venus returns where especially my younger years, very disempowered around having a voice and actually being terrified, which I think I've shared before, and I didn't want people, I didn't want to speak in front of people. I did, and when I went into my priestess process, one of the things we did was we shared personally, and I was in such incredible panic. And we did this, you know, every couple of weeks. I was going every 2 weeks for this process, and for over 9 months. And so I got a lot of practice. And then I was also doing ceremony, and I kept getting invited to do as above, so below. So I started to get a lot of practice. And this was also around the time I was starting to realize this was my piece. And I said, I will never say no if I'm invited to speak. But I didn't necessarily seek out speaking opportunities. But now it's like it's a lot easier for me. And I'm, you know, my last Venus return. In fact, here are some pictures on my 56th birthday when these orbs kept showing up, and like huge, smaller, huge. Like Peter took, these are just a few of the pictures. There's an orb right here in the sky. It's like all these pictures, it's like this orb was following us wherever we were. We took a long, like 10-mile hike, and had these different encounters, and it just felt like such an affirmation, like you know, that these beings were kind of following me around on my seventh Venus return birthday. So that there was that, and then I also just sharing these pictures. This is from an event we did in Maui in 2013, and we were doing astro drama. Not my favorite thing to do. But I can now get up and do it in front of people. And we probably had, I don't know, about 18 people, I think, in that group. And so these are just some pictures somebody took of me doing astro drama. So I've come a long way, baby.
Awesome. So just to say also, Mary had asked a really good question, which was that in the studies that I did, were all the people studied women? And the truth is, you know, it was all women. I invited men. I did not have any takers. So clearly,
I'm going to volunteer Peter to do it because he's got really good insight into his Venus cycles.
Yes.
Yeah, so we've talked about it a lot.
Insight is going to be really essential in Adams.
We'll do it also. Yeah.
And so also, if you have, you know, men you love, that the more deeply you go into this process, I mean, I've certainly tracked it in my own partner's life. And, you know, I'd recommend that people do that as well, just to really, you know, really connect into the men in your life and just, if they're open, to really explore this with them. So, so the Venus Life Review exercise, which is the exercise I took people through who were in the research that I did. And Kaylin has done something very similar with her readings. And so, it's a deepening exercise. And basically what it is we just go, I think of it as a soul recovery journey. We go back into events and experiences of our previous Venus return cycle and re-envision them in a healing and empowering way by really asking this question: how have these experiences, helped me to, truly step into the goddess I'm here to embody? And the intent is really to integrate and heal the previous Venus returns and increase our awareness so we really gain maximum benefit from future return cycles. And so the steps are, there are charts later down in the PowerPoint, and also you will receive you will see that there is a special handout that's on the page, and you also received it in the last email we sent you that takes you through this process, the life review process. You'll see the charts there. So the first thing is to identify the dates of your previous Venus returns, and you do that by knowing what your overtone is, and you have that, and then you'll look at when your dates were. Then you review what happened in those Venus return cycle periods, beginning with the most current. So for me, for example, the last Venus return I went through was between 2012 and 2013. So I would look on the chart, find those dates, and then I would say, okay, what was happening in that period? And just kind of do a timeline, like what events happened. It can be good to do it just very neutrally at first and just write them all down, everything you remember. And then as we go deeper into this process, you can go and you can look at other Venus return cycles. And some of us have had a lot. So there's no right or wrong way to do this, but it's to really look and see what the patterns have been over your lifetime. And you will be amazed by what you see. If you have journals, dream journals, other kinds of records, that can help. If you don't, you know, there are other ways. So then you consider your Venus returns, again, through the lens of the life review questions. So we'll have those on the next slide. We also have them in the deepening exercises. And from now on, every class, we'll give you some questions that are specific to deepen this life review process. And then we recommend that you really share your discoveries and your journey with us by email or with your Venus Signature Series buddy or on Facebook or in breakouts, that you really share what comes through. So, and so I'm not going to go through these questions. I think that you can go through those yourself and see which ones really resonate for you and really work with those. And then the Venus overtone questions, we go specifically. So for example, Capricorn, what would it take for me to know and feel satisfied that I'm playing my part to build a more sustainable earth-loving human culture? So we created one for each of the overtones, just nothing to do with the life review, but just asking the deeper question with where I am right now, what would it take for me to really engage this? So we did that with each of them. Okay, and just a little bit more about the Venus life review process. Some of the challenges people sometimes encounter, again, is that they don't remember. I don't remember enough details. I've had sometimes the not remembering. I did a live workshop where I work with a woman, and she was so blocked. She was so numb. And we worked with that numbness, and that was actually the portal. That was the doorway into the deepest healing that she experienced through really working with this material. So if you feel blocked, if you feel triggered by not remembering, start there. Just see what you do remember and just hold the strong intention, as we will collectively, that over this period of time, because you've got it top of mind, you know what ages, you know what dates, that more and more memories are going to flood through. You're going to meet people who remind you, that all the pieces are going to come together for you so that you really can look into what the pattern is that's been at play in your life over these years. So another thing that can happen is that sometimes when people go through this process, you can feel sad or overwhelmed because you're really going to be touching into some experiences in your life that felt very intense. So it's okay if you have that experience. It's not to cause fear for future Venus returns, because each one of you in the circle now has the potential opportunity to work with this as ceremony, which makes a huge difference. In any case, the feelings are coming up so you can heal and integrate the feelings. It's a safe, supportive space in this circle to explore these feelings. And then this work really helps us to prepare for future Venus returns. So it's a deep integrative process to do this work. So.
Yeah, so here we have the overtone dates. And so if you are Aquarius or a Capricorn, then these are all the ones that have happened since 1939. To 2015, and it also tells you that in 19, oh, I thought I updated this. It's supposed to say 2022. Oh, rats. Oh. I know I fixed it, but how it didn't stay saved, I don't know. Anyway, in 2022, sorry about that, is the next Venus return for those with the Capricorn overtone. And then this, again, from 1935, and then we're in a current one right now, a 2015, and then the next Venus will return and in Leo will be 2023. This gives you all of these, and you can just see like, oh, if I was alive in these years, then I was in a Venus return, and you know which age you were and all of that. So you can work with that. And so I think that's all we have for that. So we're pretty much done here. We're not going to go through the archetypes of the feminine Venus by sign natally. We're just there. You just can look at these on your own, because we're going to be doing more of that as we go along. But we just wanted to introduce these to you. And if you want more in-depth look at these, you can always get the Shamanic Astrology Handbook. There's more. If you have it, you can look at that to get more. Mm-hmm. But we were primarily looking at this more from the perspective of the goddess. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we also had. I captured some of this off of Facebook, especially for those people who aren't on Facebook. Some of the questions, there's some answers here. I didn't update that either. I have to fix the PowerPoint and re-upload it. So, darn. Anyway, this is actually should say Ruth. I copied the slide and somehow I made a mistake there. anyway, this is, and then Rhonda did a beautiful sharing of her experience of the last class and, yes, and really, you know, what she was feeling when she was 12 and this encounter she had with the 12-year-old. So it's really just wonderful to see. And we love getting these kinds of stories. Yes. So we love, you know, if this is coming up for you or things that you can tune into, we'd love to hear from you. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of slides on that. So we really do love your questions and you know, what you put on Facebook. And so please, you know, feel free to do that. And again, if we missed anybody, let us know, because it wasn't on purpose. And I'm trying to, both Tammy and I are trying to keep on top of it as they happen. But yeah, sometimes this class is happening really fast. We usually have a month to work, but when we're doing the ceremonial Venus class, we have a month between to work with that. So a week isn't a lot of time. Right. Anyway. So we would like to encourage, if you are in this class and are not taking the Evening Star Venus series, it's beginning July 31st. We would love to have you join us. And there's a link here that you can go find out more.
Yeah, it's an amazing, amazing experience.
And we have a great, incredible group of people that mm-hmm. so supportive and so fun. So,
yes.
Yeah.
And just to say, you know, we will trying to do too much. If you see the link on this page, Living Wisdom of the Inner Planets, that is a live class. Daniel and Kaylin are teaching at Baywood over this fall equinox, and you go deeply into the Venus cycle there too.
And Venus and Mercury. I mean, Mars and Mercury. Actually, this link doesn't work, and I updated the PowerPoint on the page. I'm going to go back and re-update it again.
And when you go back to the page when it's been fully updated, you will also see, or we may actually put it on the page itself, Scripts and Archetypes webinar class. If you want to go more deeply into the archetypes, you can do it there. And I think that's it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, excellent.
All right. So now we are ready to open it up probably for questions.
Do we need to talk about deepening exercises? I think I'll just...
Oh, the deepening exercises are not on here. Right, yes. Sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I know. I want to get to questions too. I'll be very quick. So can you bring it up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Try to see if I can... Here we go.
So the deepening exercises, it's mostly what you've already seen on the slides, but not all. So that you start with the general questions. You know, it may be that you only do this and you just begin to do the Venus life review. So if you can only bring yourself to do one thing, it might be these general Venus overtone questions. So then start there. And then if you can go down, and that's just to really engage your Venus overtone sign. However, we do recommend that you begin the life review process by going through, looking at the dates and some of the slides below the slides, or it's also on this document, that will show, yeah, at the bottom of this document, there's a chart again where you
I
can
don't
also
see it. Why is it not here? This might not be the most updated one. Let me just look at this one. Oh, this is the one that has it.
Oh, okay. Oh, right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
This is the life review process. Right. The other one was the deepening practice.
That's right. Okay, so there's two documents. This is just what I wanted to explain really quickly. The Venus life review process kind of breaks down what we've already talked about, but it's just how you do the Venus life review process. So if you want to keep going, Kaylin. So there's some kind of general questions. This is what we went over already. But then there's the table on the page as well that you can reference to look up the dates. So this is kind of an easier way on one table to do that. And then in the deepening exercises, there are also those kind of general questions that for each of the signs. And then if you want to go down, there's Venus life review questions that are really designed to just support you in looking over your life and saying, how did my, you know, I'm Morningstar. How did that show up? How did that start to unfold during these Venus returns? I am, you know, solar plexus chakra, heart chakra, whatever that is. How did that show up for me? How did that come into, how was that activated during my Venus return cycles? And then also to ask, how did the overtone actually come through? So those are the general questions.
That's it.
There's some other extras. You can use these if you want. It's optional.
Right, right.
Okay, so I think we're ready for Q&A.
I think we are. So you want to take the screen back now?
Sure, yeah.
Oh, I'll stop share. There we go.
Okay, and I don't actually need to even share. We don't even need a screen share. So Jonalee, hi. So Jonalee is raising her hand. Do you want to, why don't you, you can unmute yourself, Jonalee, and you're welcome to start and start the Q&A.
Thanks. I feel a little bit stupid, but I have to ask this. So I understand the it sounds like there's, to me, it sounds like there's two kinds of Venus returns I'm supposed to be investigating. So what I know is my Venus return, what I think I know is the Venus return for when I was born and 8 years after that, and 8 years after that. And then, but there was some other chart you had also, and we're calling it, I thought you were calling it a Venus return. So I am probably pretty confused. This is
so, Jonalee, I think I know exactly what you're asking. And on the chart that shows the different dates, mm-hmm. basically what it is doing is, so there's a 19-month cycle. So if you're turning 8, you're turning 16, 24, 32, 40, 48, 56, you may start your Venus return cycle as much as a year and a half, almost a year and a half before you have your return.
Oh.
Or you may be at the beginning of the cycle. So you may have as much as a year and a half after, or you may be somewhere in the middle. So maybe you've got, 9 months have happened before and then there's 10 months after, or, so it's a whole 19-month process and you're born somewhere within that process.
Yeah.
So that's why we're giving these dates for the Venus return, so that you can look at that whole 19-month period to get a sense of what was happening for you in your life at that time. So the birthday, and actually it's near the birthday. It's not always exactly on the birthday that the Venus return happens. The Venus comes back to the same sign and near the same degree it was at the time you were born.
Okay.
But it's a whole cycle that you're looking at.
So when I'm looking at my Venus return related to my birth date, I'm really looking at 19 months around that period of time.
Yes, and depending on, so do you know what star phase you were born in?
The morning star, Scorpio overtone, 1947. So that makes more sense because I'm looking. I was writing down the dates, but they're not exact. But in those areas, that things were happening. So that is explaining to me what I wasn't understanding. I think other astrologers talk about their solar return, and mm-hmm. so then I was saying a Venus return was the same date also.
Yes.
Right. So actually, that's a good point because Venus does return to the same sign and degree every year.
Right.
But not near the birthday. So only it's every 8 years when it's in the overtone that you were born into or the next one, depending, that is an actual full ceremonial initiatory process that you're experiencing. So every year Venus return doesn't mean that much, I mean, you could make meaning out of it if you want, but...
Okay, but yeah. Venus having such a weird cycle is why this is happening this way. Like, Mercury will come back at the same place every year, right?
Yes.
Back to the same place.
Right.
Only,
every 2 years.
Only our goddess Venus has got this very individualistic way. Okay,
so what we're looking at is, it's called the synodic cycle, meaning with the sun. So so Mercury comes back every year to the same sign and degree, but it's every 6 and 7 years it comes back near the birthday. Mars comes back every 2 years, but it's even more crazy in like 15 to 17, age 15 and 17, age 30, 32, when it comes back near the birthday.
Okay.
So with the sun, synodic means with the sun. So when it comes back with the sun, that's very significant, and ancient people were looking at that. And, creating stories around that and creating ceremony and, working with that. So that's what we're looking at here.
Okay. It's when the planet is coming back around the same, at the same time, the sun, it was in the same placement with the sun.
Okay. Yeah. Near the same, very near the same. It's not always going to be exact, but it's very close.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Alrighty, thank you.
Yay!
Great question.
Yeah, really good question.
Really important question. Okay, we have other people raising their hands. Mary, do you want to talk? Go ahead, unmute yourself. Unmute yourself. You're muted.
Can you unmute her?
I did it. It's good.
Oh, good.
There's two places to do it, and the first one didn't work. I have to laugh because when you said that she was raising her hand, I spent 20 minutes looking on the screen for where the thing said about raising your hand. I didn't realize you meant she was really raising her hand.
Well, no, it does say that to me, too. I can see where people are raising their hands, but yeah.
I just want to share one thing. When Venus came out of the underworld the other day, that same day, someone gifted to me, I don't know if you can see it, it is from Egypt on papyrus, but it's the Egyptian zodiac.
Right.
Whoa, that's so cool.
I thought that was so weird that, unbeknownst to her, she had no idea, that she was giving it to me on that day. And I thought, what does that mean? Anyway. The other thing I just wanted to say, I when we do our overtone, should we look at the overtones that represent the sign that we're actually in on our natal chart? I mean, because that has got to have some significance too, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I do. I have, for years I've worked with the Aries overtone because I'm Venus in Aries.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very, because we can get deeper insight and we, you know, it's great to work with that overtone. Mm-hmm. Even if, you know, not everybody's going to have that because there's only five of them.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I get too Sagittarius and I'm sad about that.
Right. Sagittarius, Pisces. Well, Pisces is going to start up soon, but you know, so there's a few that are kind of left out of that, but yeah, definitely work with it.
The other thing is that if you've done your one at 56, notice if it's more intense than the rest of them, because that's the one with the nodal return at the same time. And I really saw a huge, bigger thing happen in that one than in the rest. So
interesting. Well, that's a good point, Mary, because there, you know, in doing any of this research, there are going to be other cycles that happen at the same time, some that are personal and some that happen for everyone. So it does give a different flavor to each of them.
Yeah.
And I will say one of the things that we've had the experience of with people at age 56, so it's different for different people. It would be interesting to know what other cycles you might have had going on, is that it's a really magical time. Doors open. It's a nodal return. So doors open. Things are happening. You're in your Venus return. It can be an amazing, magical time. But if you're, say, in a Pluto cycle or a Saturn cycle, then you may have a little different experience. And we're going to talk about those outer planet cycles and, you know, activations.
Yeah, we'll get into that
in one of our classes.
Yeah, so, I don't think it's even just a cycle. It's if they got Pluto sitting next to Venus, it's a different.
Well, there you go.
Yes, that's true.
If you're in alignment with what you're supposed to be doing, and if you're not, it
right?
would go to extreme measure to get you there.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, well put.
Yeah.
And I'll just say one little thing about that with the 40-year cycle just briefly that blew me away. I was reading Barbara Hand Clow's book about lightning liquids.
Liquid Light of Sex.
Yes. And it's an amazing book, and she really makes this beautiful case for the Uranus opposition, the midlife crisis cycles that happen at around age 40, 42 now, and how what is needed to prepare for those cycles appropriately is to do a lot of inner work, and specifically to work with the chakras, to really clear the chakras so that when you get this big infusion of celestial energy from Neptune and Aquarius, you're prepared for it. And what she didn't know, but what we know, is that the Venus return cycle happens prior to those cycles as a perfect opportunity to do that deeper work so that when you get to that larger, those Uranus Neptune cycles, you really can do that more awakening expansion process. Anyway, so so I've got Adam here. He's had his hand up. I'm so sorry, I missed that before. Adam, you should be unmuted now.
It's okay. It was a digital hand, so it's not tired from being up.
Right. So
I have my typical narcissistic question, which is, what about for guys? What does a meta goddess mean for guys? I know I'm Aries overtone, so I'm up to bat next year. I don't know why I'm using a sports metaphor. I don't care about sports. But as the token guy, I felt I had to. Anyway.
Well, that I think that's a really good question. And I don't ask, because I'm not a guy, and Tammy's not a guy. We can't really answer that from the guy perspective. But that's something that, you know, when you're talking to Peter, to talk to him, because he's had some really good experiences of, you know, gaining deeper insight into his connection to the feminine when he's in his Venus return. And, you know, I know, you know, you're both in the underworld, and he had a lot of challenges initially and earlier in his life. And then as he became more aware and could work with that, then it's become easier. And he's, of course, in a Venus return right now. He's just he's having his age 56 Venus return. So did that help to answer your question?
Well, and I want to say something too about it, which is that, you know, there are lots of ways to begin to tune into it. Part of it, you know, for all of us, so many of us who are women, is to really begin asking the men in our lives what their experiences have been and just really tune into it, like Kaylin's doing. But also, you know, I did, when I was doing research into people who are well-known, and men in particular, my sense was that as well as it having this layer of, you know, again, it's connected to your inner beloved. It's another layer of information about what it is you need to integrate within yourself. So there's that. It's the personal layer. But my sense as well was that more than perhaps any of the others, this may be the place on your Venus where there is this need to kind of extend it outward into the world, or to be of service in bringing this goddess into the world more actively. So again, like, you know, so for example, Jung has the Libra, had the Libra overtone. And there was just such a way that he was bringing this whole honoring of all the places around the wheel. You know, there's kind of this Libra quality that he brings into the world. And again, all these men who are really strong environmentalists who are in service to Gaia. So I would propose that it's kind of both for men. This is the one where it extends outward. It's not just to be turned inward, but that's just a sense.
I mean, would you think that maybe the overtone is another part that I'm projecting outside of myself? I mean, in my case, yeah, Aries is my descendant. So that has like another meaning on top of that. So it's overtone Aries, descendant Aries. So I don't know if that
so in,
more
in,
information, but
yeah. So yeah. In terms of projection, I mean, what are the women that you tend to have relationships with? Are they strong, fierce, committed types of women? Do they take charge? Are they the leader in, you know, in the relationship, whether it's a friendship or a, you know, more serious than that kind of relationship? You know, so those are things you could look at. Because that would be the a take charge kind of gal, but maybe it's for you to take charge.
Right. That's what I'm wondering. That's what I'm wondering about.
Yeah. Well, it is interesting. You know, again, it's like, it's interesting if it's something that is on your descendant as well, because it could propose even more than in some other aspects of your Venus, that when you do that, when you really do integrate that, then it might be the kind of thing that you really do get to experience in a partner as well.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, may not happen right away.
Right.
I mainly noticed the underworld part. The Aries part I haven't gotten that far yet.
it's a combination of Aries Scorpio. If you add Scorpio, well, and the other water signs to the underworld expression, but that's a very intensive expression of the feminine. She's always going to take you deeper and further than you've ever been before. She's extremely fierce. And so in a way, it's like you really need to make friends with the dark goddess and find out what she has to teach you and how she can and help inform you so that you're more conscious of the choices you're making in everything you do, not just your relationships.
Well, and I'd also be asking, I'd be really, if I were a guy and I wanted to learn more about this, I would really be doing the Venus Life Review, and I would be really asking, how does this, you know, bring Aries in more in, you know, into my own experience and owning and claiming that energy more? Did I have situations that helped me do that or that invited me to do that in my life? And as well as seeing where I projected it onto partners and maybe what the effect of that was.
So that help, Adam?
Sorry, keeps automatically muting me. Yeah, it's more things to explore. I've noticed I judge Aries energy in other people. Maybe it's all my Libra-ness and not diplomatic enough for me. But the underworld part is definitely a new part to, like, you know, to claim, oh, I don't need all these external people to create drama for me outside of myself. That's kind of the point that I'm at right now. I never really thought of claiming that within myself. So it's kind of a new concept for me.
Yeah. And a powerful one, too. I have a feeling that working with that's going to create a lot of insight and change and empowerment for you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. We're so glad you're in a class.
Yes. It's great to have men showing up.
Yes.
Yeah. So Emma was saying that her husband has Venus in Aries, Aries overtone, and when she looks at his returns, it's amazing how powerful Venus has been for him. He also has, he also has Mercury within 3 degrees of his also with Venus overtone. So, yeah. So more another man with an Aries overtone. So maybe Emma would have some insights for you, Adam.
The other thing is, I didn't put it on my little note, was that his Venus is retrograde. So both paths, both are retrograde in opposition to his moon in Libra. And he's had life experiences which I've never heard of before from other people. And what I'm going to do is I'll start asking him more questions and getting more information, and I'll share it with the group, because I think this is fantastic that you have Venus and Mercury together in the same sign, 3 degrees apart, and both with the same overtone.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And interesting that you bring it up now when Venus and Mercury are together, or will be very, very soon. So I want to read
Saturday. On Saturday.
Yeah,
exactly.
With the Beehive Cluster. Really amazing. So I have a little thing from Victoria here, which is actually something that we should have mentioned that's really essential. Victoria wrote, notice the descent phase, underworld, rebirth, then ascent over the 19 months. So this is going to be easier for some of us with the more recent returns. But what she's saying is that when we look through those dates of when our previous 19-month Venus returns were, it can be very powerful to look within that cycle and see about where the underworld period was, which is going to be about 8 months after the beginning of the cycle.
It's all in the master document.
It's all in the master document. That's
right. How cool is that?
Yes. So once you have your dates, you can actually see and you can track events based on which chakra gate was activated. You can look at whether Venus was in the underworld or not. Was it morning star, evening star? So you can begin to track the pattern of what kinds of events have happened for you in your personal Venus return during those phases. And it's really amazing sometimes. Like exactly, I mean, when I was leading women through this cycle for the first time, a woman, when I took them through the full cycle, the day that Venus regained her, was with the moon, regaining her crown at the seventh chakra, this woman gave birth. She crowned who was in my circle in her Scorpio Venus return. Another woman just literally started her business that day. It wasn't because of that event. So she gave birth to a business. So it's amazing when you start to track these literal gates. It's very literal sometimes what you see has happened and will happen.
Yes, beautiful.
Okay, so if anyone else wants to speak, do we want to give time for one more maybe?
Sure.
Okay, so if you want to speak, you can just unmute yourself, or if you know how to raise your hand, you can raise your hand. Okay, so I don't see any hands, and I don't hear anyone unmuting, so I'm going to assume that we're complete. So
I think we are, yeah, awesome.
All right.
Great class, everyone, wow.
Yeah, so incredible. So just to say so much gratitude for everyone who's shown up, and for the grandmothers, and for the Divine Feminine, and for the deepening of this intent. And maybe-
Looking forward to this, every other program that you put together.
we're so good to have you here with us.
Yeah, thank you.
So enjoy the next 2 weeks. We know we will. And I'm going to, do you have anything else, Kaylin, before I unmute everyone?
I think we're good. So we can maybe just say goodbye. And if you have questions, and see you on Facebook. And just really grateful for all the participation and how you're helping us to deepen our experience.
Thank you. Oh, and if you did take notes from your breakout sessions, please email them to me or put them on Facebook or however you can share them. But we are just so grateful, and it's been so much fun. So I'm going to unmute everyone, and we can just say goodbye.
Bye.
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 Thank you.
Bye.
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 All right. Good night.
Night.
Good night.